I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time. Well, folks, Veritas went to press today, and it'll be in the mail tomorrow. So you can start looking in your mailboxes in about 4 days for some of you, and up to about 2 or 3 weeks for some others of you. I don't know why it is, but bulk mail some gets to some people just as fast as first-class mail, and sometimes faster. Sounds crazy, but it's true. And for other people, sometimes just one state away takes 2 or 3 weeks. So don't ask me to explain why that is. I just know that it is. So some of you will be getting your copy of Veritas in probably about 4 days, because they'll be mailed tomorrow. And some of you will get them in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days, and some in a week and a half, and some in 2 weeks, and some in 3 weeks. Now, if you're in the intelligence service, folks, and you move, make sure you notify the intelligence service of your address right away. Because if we mail your copy of Veritas to the old address and you don't get it, that's, you know, you made a mistake. Also, please do not send your subscription payments to me. I'm not Veritas. Send them to Veritas. Veritas is Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. The subscription for 24 issues is $35. Once again, that's Veritas, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. If you send your subscription to me, it's going to delay you getting your subscription, because I don't handle subscriptions. It's not my job. And I'm not going to start. So please, send them to Veritas. And make sure you make your check payable to Image 1216. And you'll get your subscription with no problem. Now, anybody that has any problem with Veritas, here's the way we work it. We're putting out the best paper in America, folks, bar none. We work our butts off to make that paper. We don't have a big staff. We don't have reporters and editors and city desks and all of that crap. We don't have it. We have two people. Actually, three. Me, Michael Aponte, who is the editor-in-chief, and his wife, Sharon. That's it. To do everything. And I mean literally everything. So we don't have time for persnickety people. If you have a complaint, send it in. If we can solve it, we'll solve it. If you want to continue with the complaining, what we do is prorate your subscription and just refund your money, because we don't have the people or the time to deal with that kind of stuff. And we're not. And we've only had a couple of problems. One lady, I don't know what's wrong with her. She got her copy of Veritas and then wrote us a nasty letter because it said address correction requested. Well, you see, with bulk mail, folks, if it doesn't say address correction requested and they can't deliver the paper, they throw it in the trash. So we put address correction requested on there to notify the post office that we want to know if you've moved so that we can make sure that you get your paper. And they send it back to us with the correction on it, and then we can forward it to your proper address. The post office will not forward bulk mail newspapers to you. Well, this woman raised holy hell because we had address correction requested on her paper. She wrote the Better Business Bureau. So we prorated her subscription and sent her the money for the issues that she has not received and told her that we're not interested in her subscription or her business or anything else. You know, if you're crazy, we're really not. And that's the truth. So you all know me by now. I don't put up with any bullshit from anybody. And I don't put up with the bullshit from the people who don't like the fact that I say bullshit. So bullshit. And you better understand that right now. We're bending over backwards. We put ourselves way out over the cliff. If they're successful with their new world order, we're history. We know it. We fully understand it, and we do it willingly because we know that there is no alternative unless we want our children and our friends and our loved ones to live in slavery in the future. So we do it. We work our butts off. We don't get rich. The things that we sell just to put food on the table and keep a roof over the head and to make sure that you have access to this information. And see, if I was in this for profit to make a whole bunch of money, I'd be selling my book on the air every single night. My book, The Treason Documents, everything. I'd be plugging it. In fact, most of this broadcast would be like Viking International. Instead of giving you information, I'd be selling my wares just like they do for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever. And if it was successful, I'd expand the show to 3 or 4 hours so I could sell more of it. But I don't do that. Never do I do it. And the things that we sell, we don't make that much money off of them, folks. This book, NASA Mooned America, we sold more copies of that than anything we've ever sold on this broadcast. And the book is so expensive. It's ironic. We finally get something that really sells an awful lot, and it's ironic. The book is so expensive, we're making just a little bitty bit of money on each copy. So, to be able to send it to you and make sure you get it, we have to tack $5 onto the cover price so that we can ship at UPS, and UPS is expensive. And anyway, I just want to let you know that. And let you know that Veritas is on the way, and it's another fine issue, and the headline story is about a problem that most of you never would have caught on to or understood, and it's about a people that most Americans don't think much about. So I think you're going to get your eyes opened once again, and I think you're going to get a bang out of it. And if you're the kind of people that I know you are, being the steady listeners, and I'm talking about the steady people who've been listening for a long time, whose eyes are open, who care, and who have gone and checked out the sources and the information that I've given you on this broadcast. Remember this, folks. This is a broadcast like no other that you ever hear. I've admonished you from day one to read everything, listen to everyone, believe nothing, not even me, not anybody. Believe nothing unless you can prove it in your own right. I also make mistakes from time to time, folks. And I've also told you that when I discover those mistakes, I tell you what they are, and I always have. I've also told you that if you can prove that anything I say on this broadcast is wrong, and I need prove it, don't write me a letter and harangue for 5 or 6 pages telling me that I'm wrong. Prove it to me. If you can prove it to me, I'll get on the air, and I'll read the letter, and I'll say, you know what, this got this letter, and by golly, this guy has outlined these facts, and I was wrong. And I've done that a couple of times. And when I'm wrong, it's an honest mistake. I don't set out to deceive anybody on this broadcast. And you've derived, if you've been listening to this broadcast over a long period of time, you have accumulated more knowledge from this broadcast and I don't care how old you are, than you have ever accumulated in your entire lifetime on your own or from other teachers. Not only that, but you could probably put five or six of you together and it would be more knowledge than all of you have accumulated in your lifetime. And I'm not saying that a blanket about everybody, because I know there's some people out there who are up to speed with me. And what they're doing about it, I don't know. I don't know why they don't have their own radio podcast. I don't know why they're sitting in their bedroom hoarding it. You should be out educating people like I am. And like many other people are, like my friend Anthony J. Hilder, who will be speaking in Houston day after tomorrow. Or excuse me, it's, what's today, the 20th? Yeah, day after tomorrow, Wednesday. He's recovered from his bullet wound. He lost his radio show. I don't know why. But he'll be speaking in Houston day after tomorrow, Wednesday night, and if you're anywhere in the state of Texas, Louisiana, or any place down there where you can get to hear my good friend Anthony speak, I hope that you will take advantage of that. John Daniels is going to be there too, the man who wrote Scarlet and the Beast, which is one of the most well-researched tomes on the secret societies that I've seen in many years. It leaves out two important players in this fight for world dominance, and that's the Catholic. I shouldn't say the Catholic Church, because that's not fair to good Catholics who aren't involved in any of this. But the Vatican and international Zionism, which is not the same. Just like the Vatican is not Catholics, Zionism is not Jews, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, there are more of what you know or believe to be Christians involved in international Zionism than there ever were Jews. So please understand that. Mr. Hilder and Mr. Daniels will be speaking at the Ramada Inn on the 22nd of November, that's Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, at 6:45, at 6:45 p.m., the Ramada Inn, at 7787 Katy Freeway, 7787 Katy Freeway, that's at I-10 and Silver Road Antoine exit. That's at the I-10 Silver Road and Antoine exit. Once again, Anthony J. Hilder and John Daniels, both. Anthony J. Hilder is a longtime good friend of mine. John Daniels is a telephone friend of mine. And they'll be speaking on the 22nd of November, Thanksgiving Eve, at 6:45 p.m. at the Ramada Inn at 7787 Katy Freeway at the Silver Road and Antoine exit of I-10 in Houston, Texas. That's Houston, Texas, folks. So if you can possibly be there, I encourage you to be there. Guarantee you'll learn something, you'll have some fun. If you get a chance to talk to Anthony afterward, maybe sit down and have a Coke with him or something, you'll find that he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And where I've only talked to John Daniels on the telephone, I've enjoyed our conversations. I admire his research and the work that he put into Scarlet and the Beast, which is a three-volume set, and I'm not selling his book, but I highly recommend that you get it and read it. We did sell it on the broadcast at one time, but we didn't take the orders, folks. We didn't make any money off. I sold that book for him because I believe that you need the knowledge that's in it, and you bought a lot of copies, I'll tell you that, and it helped John Daniels quite a bit, those of you who bought those books, because he really didn't have the money to continue to print the book, because he had no advertising, and nobody would touch it with a 10-foot pole, just like my book when it first came out. And just like my book when it first came out, you've all spread by word of mouth his advertising for him. And that's wonderful. Got a couple of letters I want to read here. Got to read this one. I love these big, brave patriots. This guy signed his name, A Real Patriot from Michigan. No name. Which means he may be a real patriot, but when the enemy starts coming, he's going to run like hell because he hadn't even got the guts to put his name on the end of this letter. I want to read this to you. It's an example of the nothing between the ears syndrome. This guy apparently hates this show, but listens to it every night. Can't stand it, but can't not listen to it. So, William Cooper, I'd like to know the purpose of your talk show, The Hour of the Time. It's not to support the Patriot movement. You criticize anyone who gets any attention in trying to wake up the American people to government oppression in this country by trying to discredit them. You constantly condemn other real Patriot talk show hosts. You always say everyone in the Patriot movement or calls themselves a Patriot are not willing to do anything unless they make money on it. Now, all of that, folks, is a patent, barefaced lie. This guy listens to my show every night, and he's so stupid. I mean, he's so brainless, so dim-witted, that he doesn't even understand what the show is about. He doesn't understand that the show was never meant to support any movement. This broadcast is intended to dig up and reveal the truth, no matter who it hurts or helps. It always has been and always will be. And if it hurts the Patriot movement, then that means the Patriot movement has something terribly wrong with it, or it wouldn't be hurt by it. And that is the truth. I do not criticize anyone who gets any attention. I don't even know who's getting attention, ladies and gentlemen. I have exposed the phonies that I am aware of and know are phonies, and will continue to do so whenever I discover anything like that. I do not try to discredit anyone, just reveal their real agenda, and I always tell you to read everything, listen to everyone, believe nothing, unless you can prove it in your own investigation or research. And he says, I condemn real Patriot talk show hosts. Like who? I haven't condemned anyone. I've revealed the fact that Tom Valentine is not telling you the truth about his real religion and his real agenda, but I have not attempted to discredit Tom Valentine, ever. You see, he may put out a lot of good information, but you won't know what to do with that information if you don't understand what his real agenda is. If you do understand that, then you can more intelligently understand what it is that he's saying and trying to do. Tom has some wonderful guests sometimes, and sometimes I listen to his show because of the guests, not because of Tom Valentine. And I never tune in just to listen. I tune in sometimes a few minutes before this broadcast goes on the air just to get a feel for what the propagation and the reception conditions are like. So I'll know whether I'm wasting my time in talking about some really important subject, or whether if it's a real, clear, good reception night, I should really be devoting my time to those kinds of subjects. Now, let me continue here. You always say everyone in the Patriot movement or calls themselves a Patriot are not willing to do anything unless they make money on it. Nope, I have not. I have said that many patriots, a lot of people who call themselves patriots, do that. And they do. And it's true. And there are a lot of people who call themselves patriots who really aren't, who are milking patriots for every penny that they can get out of them. And that's true. And he says, what are you doing, Mr. Cooper? Is Veritas free? He spells it V-E-R-A-T-R-O-S-S. And if I didn't really know how to spell it, I'd think he was trying to say albatross. And in the beginning, I was starting to feel like maybe it was an albatross around my neck, but it's okay now. Is Veritas free? Of course not. We put a lot of work into it. But the copies that we send to Washington are free, and it costs us an awful lot of money, my friend. And so we have to make that up in our subscription price. And let me ask you, I'm producing a newspaper chock full of information that takes so much time to research and document that you'd just look at it and walk away because you haven't got the brains to do something like that. And he says, how about anything else you advertise as your own or your family's products? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask anybody out there, when is the last time that we advertised any of my own or my family's products on this broadcast? Can any of you remember? I bet you most of you can't ever remember us ever having done it. Some of you will because it's been a long time ago and you've been listening for a long time. It says, you call yourself a Christian, and that's wrong. I do not call myself a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, and I believe and follow his teachings in my life. But I wouldn't get caught dead with the people in this world today who call themselves Christians. No way. So again, you're wrong. It says, come on, Mr. Cooper. Do you think there are that many dumb listeners of yours? No, I certainly don't. Most of my listeners are the most intelligent people on the face of this earth, except for people like you who are masochists. You hate this broadcast, but you don't know how to turn off your radio and go listen to something that you like. And that amazes me. You know, folks, I've learned that more socialists listen to this broadcast than their own socialist broadcast because basically I think they like to get kicked around. And they get a lot of it from this broadcast. He says, I don't think there's that much Thorazine available to your audience. Well, my audience doesn't take Thorazine, but since you know so much about Thorazine, I would probably venture to say that you've taken it at least at some time in your life, because most people wouldn't even know what that means. Even as limited as it is surely getting to be, by the way, I was introduced to shortwave radio and the Patriot Movement a couple of years ago by a friend. And I got to tell you something, bud. If you were just introduced a couple of years ago and that's it, then you don't know enough to be criticizing me or anybody else who's been doing this for more years than you can probably count with the level of your intellectual ability here. A couple of years ago, and now you know it all, right? We listened to your show. There were several of us. Guess what? I'm the only one left still listening to my shortwave radio on a regular basis, and I'm proud to say that I listen to Radio Free America. Well, I'm glad that you do. Maybe you'll learn something from Tom Valentine's guests, or at least some of his guests, the ones that very infrequently go on that show and don't spin you around in a cul-de-sac chasing your tail. You might learn something. So I encourage you to continue listening to Radio Free America. But if you hate this broadcast and think it's so bad, I also encourage you to stop listening to this broadcast, and that goes for anybody else out there who does not enjoy it, does not get anything out of it, does not feel that you're learning anything from the hour of the time, you should not be listening to it. I've told you that over and over and over again. So if you continue to listen to it, maybe you need some psychological counseling. But I can't recommend that because psychology is the most unscientific bullshit profession that's ever existed on the face of the earth. And if you've been taking Thorazine, maybe that's really what's wrong with you. Maybe you should stop. He says, Tom Valentine is the best Patriot talk show host out there today, period. Well, that's your opinion, and I have proven over and over again that that is not true. Tom Valentine has another agenda, and it has nothing to do with patriotism. It has to do with creating a white world, much like the world that Hitler tried to create. And that is the truth. He is also a very highly degreed adept in the mystery school of ancient Babylon. He is a priest, in fact, of the mysteries. And if you read the books that he has written, you will discover that. And if you read the interview conducted by Richard Noon in his book, 5-5-2000, Ice, the Ultimate Disaster, you'll see in Tom Valentine's own words that he believes that Christ blew his chance and now it's Lucifer's turn. Now, you don't have to believe me. I've cited the source. His own books that he wrote, read them. And then read that interview in the book, 5-5-2000. Now, you're entitled to your opinion, and you're entitled to listen to whoever you want. In fact, I encourage you to listen to everyone. I always have. Always will. But I also encourage you to try to grow some brains. Maybe you need some fertilizer. I don't know. Or maybe you're full of fertilizer. I don't know that either. There are others that are good, but he is the best in my opinion. Now listen to this, folks. I believe you listen to him, and out of jealousy of his cool style, calmness, and his dedicated audience, pretty evidence in his call-ins and qualified hosts. What hosts? He's the host, dummy. If you're referring to his guests, most of his guests are quacks. Some of them are knowledgeable, intelligent, good people who know what they're talking about. You condemn him on your show. Well, I don't condemn him on my show. I've revealed him for his real agenda and the fact that he's conning you. That's true. And occasionally I do listen to his show because I have been called or informed by someone that there's going to be a certain guest whom I wish to listen to. Yes, I listen to everybody, my friend. I follow my own advice. And then he asked me, where are my qualified hosts? And my advice to you is I don't have any qualified hosts. My advice is to go to the dictionary and look up host, Mr. Real Patriot. You try to run a show based on paranoia, and most of your show is a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Now get this, he reveals his true intellectual capability. You see, he's been listening to my show for a long time, obviously 2 years by his own admission, and he still doesn't know what we're talking about. You try to run a show based on paranoia and most of your show is a bunch of mumbo jumbo, angels from the moon, Luciferians from Mars, that nobody understands. And Mr. Real Patriot, listen to me very carefully. Don't even try to speak for somebody else. You don't have the brains to speak for yourself. Most of my listeners understand. And I've never talked about angels from the moon. You see, that's your intellectual inadequacy coming out there. And I've never talked about Luciferians from Mars. You see, those are metaphors straight from their own mouth. And never have I spoken about angels from the moon. Never have I said anything about Luciferians from Mars, but I have read from the words of the mysteries that the Luciferians are Martian in their makeup. Now, you think that means Luciferian from Mars, and that's not what it means at all, and I'm not even going to try to explain it to you if you've been listening for 2 years and haven't even caught the drift yet. You see, you're never going to catch the drift. You don't know how to think. You're a bigot. Then he says, why don't you have call-ins on a regular basis, Mr. Cooper? Well, I don't have call-ins on a regular basis, Mr. Real Patriot, because this isn't a call-in show. This is a show where we try to dig out the truth and deliver that truth to the people of the world. This is not one of those shows where I spend an hour and my sponsor's money listening to a bunch of idiots who just want to hear their own voice on the radio. And that's what most call-ins represent. And if you don't believe it, you just listen to call-in shows and listen to the people who call in. It's a waste of time. However, every once in a while, I like to have a call-in show because I always have this incredible hope that somebody is going to call in and talk about something intelligent. And in the early days of the show, nobody ever did because they never knew what the hell the show was all about and they hadn't caught on yet to what intelligent means. But within the last year and a half, we have been getting some pretty intelligent callers and some pretty intelligent questions and some pretty intelligent input from a lot of pretty intelligent people. If people like you call on a regular basis, I would never in my wildest dreams even consider taking calls. Afraid of what they might do to your War of the Worlds paranoia program? Now, just what in the world does that mean? If you really fell for that 1938 edition of War of the Worlds and you thought that that was paranoia, then you're worse off than I ever dreamed. Back in 1938, it would have been, but not today. No way. Ridiculous claim. Bullshit is in the dictionary, but it's not in your cheapy paperback half-inch thick version of Webster's Dictionary, I can assure you. And not only that, my friend, most dictionaries used for the average consumer by no means contain any more than a very minor representation of the English language. I suggest you go to a good library, and I mean a good library, and look for the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language, and count how many volumes and how many millions of words are in that dictionary. And then you go back and you take your little Webster's Dictionary and you throw it in the trash can where it belongs, unless you're going to use it, you know, for writing letters to your auntie. Now listen to this, folks. He says, remember saying Mary was not Jesus' mother, but in fact they were having sex together? I never said that. In my entire life, nor would I ever say that in my entire life. I have stated the beliefs of others, and I have never found anyone who ever believed that Jesus' mother, Mary, was having sex with Jesus. There are people who do believe that Jesus was having sex with Mary Magdalene and, in fact, produced children who, in turn, produced the Merovingian line of French kings. You see, this guy has scrambled eggs between his ears. If he isn't careful, some hungry passerby is liable to eat him. But I've got to show you people what is out there, what we're dealing with. We are dealing with an ignorance and a stupidity that permeates so many Americans that are just like this jerk, that it's going to be awfully hard for us to win any battles. And that's why I'm reading this letter, so you'll understand this guy loves Tom Valentine because Tom Valentine talks sweet to him and makes him think he is brilliant. He hates me because I tell him the truth. He hasn't got a brain in his head. And he hasn't got a chance of surviving in the New World Order unless he learns how to develop some brains in his head. He thinks I'm hurting him, but I am doing him a favor if he will just catch on to the truth. You see, he has the same brain in truth that I do. And that everybody out there listening has.
He has never in his life learned how to use it. He doesn't understand how to listen even. Everything he said in here that he claims that I have said on this broadcast is a blatant lie. But you see, I don't think he's intentionally lying. If he were, he would be sending his lies to other people to try to get them to believe what he is saying and thus try to discredit me. But you see, he sent it to me, which means he believes that this is really what he heard. Which means he's in big trouble. Then he says, comment, have you ever been treated for psychosis? No, I've never had a psychosis in my life, my friend. Although a lot of socialists out there probably would like to tell you otherwise. Anyone who believes in the Constitution, liberty, believes in the legality of the militias, or who calls himself a sovereign individual, sovereign natural human, has a psychosis. I wrote that in my book, that we would be called psychotics in the New World Order. And then he says, and your big intelligence agency. You don't know anything about my intelligence agency, big or small, and it's not an agency. It's an organization. You'll be able to support your show on your own because it looks like you have effectively ruined Swiss America Trading. Well, if you think that I've ruined Swiss America Trading, it's probably for sale and somebody smart like you should buy it. Maybe you can recreate it. You see, if I was ruining Swiss America Trading, they wouldn't be sponsoring this broadcast, you airheaded twit. So we will probably get to see if you are so popular and supported that you can keep your bullshit program on the air. My bullshit program will be on the air as long as Swiss America Trading sponsors it, and when they stop sponsoring it, then I will pay for it myself as long as I can. And just like everything else that's ever happened in my life, if I'm doing the right thing, God will make the money come when it's needed. It has never failed yet. So don't you worry about the hour of the time. He said, if you were a real patriot at heart, you would spend your time running your show in a sane, understandable manner. No, I'm afraid I can't do that. I will not bring the intellectual level of this broadcast down to your fourth grade level. You're going to have to bring your level of intellect up to our brilliance. And he says, also quit trying to tear apart the Patriot movement. Anything that is based upon truth and is perpetuating truth and liberty cannot be torn apart by me or anyone else. If you perceive that what I'm doing is tearing anything apart, then I'm going to tell you right now it needs to be torn apart, because what I do is reveal truth about philosophies, religions, governments, people. I lay it bare. I shine the light in the corner on the cockroaches and in the dark, damp places where they live. And when I do that, if they scatter, then they are truly cockroaches. Then he says, I see why you live in the middle of the desert.
He's been listening to this broadcast for 2 years. And he thinks I live in the middle of the desert. I live at 7,500 feet in the beautiful White Mountains. There isn't a desert anywhere near me. It is beautiful country. Forest, elk, deer, skunks, squirrels, cattle, good people, most of them. And if I did live in the desert, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. You're like the rest of the intellectually deficient jerks who, when you can't deal with the facts, have to attack the character of whomever you perceive to be the enemy. But I can't for the life of me understand why you would attack the desert. Says, get well soon, Mr. Cooper, secret agent man. Signed, a real patriot from Michigan. Well, number one, you're not a real patriot. You haven't been even dealing with these subjects long enough to know what the hell you're talking about. You apparently can't understand anything that you hear. And you're a coward. Only cowards send anonymous letters. So anyway, folks, that's some of what we're dealing with out there. And it's just some of it. Believe me, some of these people are much, much worse than this twit ever will be. And believe me, he is a first-class twit. And I'll bet you he's listening right now. I bet you there's steam coming out of his ears. And I bet you he'll be listening tomorrow night and the night after, because it's just like I said, he's a masochist. He hates this broadcast, hates me, but he will listen every single night, just like all the other masochists and idiots out there. And for some reason, they perceive what we do on this broadcast as a personal attack against them, when I don't even know who they are. Never have in my life and never will, and don't even care. There's something mentally wrong with people like that. In the early days of the show, I used to use the word sheeple an awful lot when I was talking to sheeple. And people used to get angry and call and voice their anger and write angry letters. And I would write back and call them and tell them and answer them on the air that if it is really, if that word sheeple, you see, I don't even like to pronounce it anymore. I don't like sheeple anymore. I can't stand them. If that word sheeple really affects you in that manner, it can only be because you in your heart of hearts recognize that it's absolutely true. You see, because if you were not a sheeple, you wouldn't even pay any attention to the word. You see, if I went out in the middle of the street in New York City and yelled, "Hey, you bank robber, stop! Stop, bank robber!" I know New Yorkers, they wouldn't even turn around and look. It wouldn't bother them a bit. They'd keep on walking unless there was really a bank robber on that street. When I yelled out, "Hey, bank robber, stop," the bank robber would start running. And that's what this guy is doing. I have pushed his buttons on this broadcast. I have spoken truths that have hit him where it hurts, and he can't stand it. And here's another letter. This one I want to read because he brings up some good points about what we discussed last week. And I think that it's worth talking about on the air. I don't know if he's right. I really don't. If I knew the answer to this star blindness thing, I would have told you. But sometimes the astronauts say they can see the stars, and sometimes they say they can't. And the times they say they can't see the stars, when they say they can, they're in the same position in relationship to the earth and the sun and the moon and all that kind of stuff.
We do know when they go by the moon, most of them said they could see the stars when they couldn't see the stars before they went behind the moon, whatever that means. But listen to this. This is interesting. It says, Bill, about the program on the star-blind astronauts last night. We see stars at night because the relatively large diameter of the Earth between us and the sun at night blocks out the radial rays of the sun. Forget about Einstein's theory that gravity bends light around massive bodies. A spacecraft is hardly large enough to block enough sunlight to allow the astronauts to see stars from the dark side of the craft. So, except for the orbits behind the Earth and the Moon, with the Earth and the Moon between the spacecraft and the Sun, the spacecraft should be flooded with brilliant sunlight at all times. Now, that's the only thing that I can find wrong with what he's saying, because the astronauts have the capability of closing off the sunlight from coming into the spacecraft if they want to. They could make it totally dark in there. And they could open up a portal or a window. I mean open the shade so that they could see out the dark side of the spacecraft without this craft being flooded with sunlight. But that's the only thing I find wrong with his argument here. It's interesting, and I think that you should pay attention to it. He says, I agree that the early Gemini and other missions around the Earth, the astronauts ought to have seen stars on the dark side of the Earth, except that due to the limited visibility for the vehicles, one or two windows, the spacecraft and the windows probably face the Earth, the more interesting view at all times. Only an astronomer on the spacecraft would have been interested in looking at the stars. That's not true, my friend. As I pointed out in my series, they have to navigate by the stars, and they have to be able to locate stars and find them in the eyepiece of a sextant. And remember I explained how a sextant works. You have to have a horizon. Since there's no horizon in space, the horizon is provided by a computer. So not just an astronomer, the navigator has to be able to see stars. He says, this raises the question in my mind, how does the Hubble telescope see if it too is bathed in sunlight at essentially all times, and it too is a small diameter craft? Well, is Hubble parked behind the Earth to take advantage of the Earth's shadow? I don't know. Does anybody out there know? Does Hubble rotate around the Earth, or is it in geosynchronous orbit, which means that it would stay above the same place on the Earth? Or is it forever parked behind the Earth in relationship to the Sun in total darkness forever? I don't know. If somebody out there knows, would you please let us know? Because that's an interesting piece of information. Somehow the above is reminiscent of Auber's paradox, which my memory calls as, if the heavens are uniformly filled, that means uniform density of stars throughout space, why is the night sky not bright instead of dark? That's a good question, too. I'd never heard that before. He says, I don't remember the classical answer, but I think scientists talk about dark matter on the molecular or plasma scale that must fill space to account for 90% of the mass of the universe that can't be accounted for by the 10% of the mass of all the stars. And that I have heard before, and that's discussed in scientific circles quite a bit. In other words, they've only been able to account for 10% of the mass that their mathematical formulas tell them has to exist in the universe. Where's the other 90%? Well, they have this theory about dark matter. Last is the enclosed article in your files. It's dated 1983, and I'm not going to get into that because it has nothing to do with any of this. And then he tells me something about I should check into about my right eye, which I will, and I thank him for the suggestion. But I really don't think it's that at all. I think it's damage to the nerves from the terrible attacks that I experienced in 1976. from the United States government's intelligence people in order to try to keep me quiet when I first started talking about what I learned when I was in the United States Navy. But I'll check it out anyway, because you might be right. Okay, we have 10 minutes. Wait a minute. We have 5 minutes left, or 6 minutes left, that we can take calls. So let's do that. The number is 520-337-4578. No, that's wrong. It's 520-333-4578. I always get the office mixed up with the studio. 520-333-4578. We'll take your calls beginning right now, and you can start hitting your redial buttons if you want to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Tom from Indiana.
Hi, Tom.
I've got one question that sort of puzzled me a little bit since you talked about the Lion King and the symbology in it.
Yes.
And also I read about it in Veritas.
Uh-huh.
It takes a lot of study to even, you know, recognize these symbols and to understand them. What is the purpose that the people who put this movie together have in displaying the symbols and the story, since most people, it'll go right over their head?
It is an indoctrination, an initiation, if you will, of the children into the mysteries. Whether they understand the symbology or not, it is lodged in their subconscious.
Kind of the scheme of things?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. That's been puzzling me. It's hard enough for me to figure out what's going on there, and I understand some of the symbology. Another question I had, kind of a philosophical question. You said on your broadcast that whoever fires the first shot loses, and I guess one thing that I was pondering is, hasn't the first shot already been fired?
No.
In a lot of... What will define that moment?
The public defines that moment.
So...
That's why whoever fires the first shot loses. When the public perceives that a war is taking place, whoever fires the first shot will be perceived by the public as the wrongdoer, and that will decide who wins or loses the war. That's why they want so badly to get some whacked out idiot in some unofficial group that they can call a militia to do something stupid like attack the United States government, so then they'll have an excuse, which will be 100% backed by the public, to round up every patriot, every person who loves liberty, and everybody who belongs to a militia in this country.
So when you make those statements, you're referring to a the public perception
portion of it. Absolutely. You see, when the war starts, and I believe that it will, I believe that they want it to, in order to justify what they want to do, in order for those who love liberty to have any chance of winning, they're going to have to fight a guerrilla war for many years.
Right.
And you cannot fight a guerrilla war without the support of the public.
I see. So that becomes a very important part of it then.
That becomes a crucial part.
Right. Okay.
Study the masters of guerrilla warfare.
Right.
Read Mao Zedong, read Che Guevara, read all of the people, study what Castro did in Cuba. Study the experts, study the Viet Cong, and you'll find out that if you do not have a base of sympathetic support from the people, maybe they won't give you guns and bullets, but they'll leave food in the woods.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Without that kind of support, without people who see you pass through the neighborhood but will never, ever in their life talk about it, you can't hope to fight a guerrilla war for the amount of time that it's going to take to fight and win over the technology that we're going to face.
Right. All right, Bill. Well, I thank you for taking my call. It's been hard to get through, but patience has paid off for me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
And remember, folks, I don't want a war. Nobody does. I've just studied this for so many years, I happen to know that there's no way. I can't see any way around it, although I will continue to try to find a way and to act responsibly in a peaceful manner and to promote a peaceful resolution as long as possible. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Beal.
Yes?
I just have one question.
Yes?
How can the government get by with all this secrecy for so long and it not being divulged?
Well, that's real easy. I was in it for a long time. People who serve the government really believe in what they're doing. They really believe they're serving this nation. They take an oath. They sign a security agreement. They believe in it.
We've got ATF, FBI, CIA. These are thousands and thousands of people.
And they all believe in what they're doing. They believe in what they're doing. It's the truth, my friend. Not only that, but I'll give you several examples. Have you ever heard of the Manhattan Project?
Oh, yes, sir.
The Manhattan Project, they literally built huge cities in this country that were secret. Nobody talked. The secrets about the atomic bomb that were leaked to Russia were leaked by the United States government itself.
On purpose.
On purpose. It certainly is.
I'm working on your book right now, and I'm also, I just ordered your NASA Moons America book, and I'm looking forward to getting them.
Well, it's not my book. It was written by a man named Rene, so don't give me credit for what he did. I just, I'm making that book available to you because you just can't find it. It's printed in small quantities. It's not advertised. The bookstores won't carry it.
Okay. We thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
I'll take one more call, folks, and then we got to get them out of here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes?
This is a wonderful show you got, buddy.
Turn off your radio, please.
Oh, okay. Got this old Japanese set here, you know. They're worthless. But we just wanted to call from down here in Texas and say how wonderful your show is. Think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a few questions about, you know, this and that.
Well, hurry up, because we're out of time.
Well, perhaps.
What's the most important question you got? Hurry up and ask it.
Where do you think gold is going to go?
I think gold, when everything crashes, is going to go to zero. I think they're going to pull everything that they've been hoarding for hundreds and maybe thousands of years out of all the vaults in the world and flood the market, and it's going to go to zero. When it goes to zero or close to zero, they're going to buy it all back at that price, and everybody in a panic is going to sell everything they have. And the smart people who hold on to their gold and silver coin will control whatever market comes out of it. And I'm talking about back alley black markets. I think gold should stabilize around $2,500 an ounce and silver around $150 or $200 an ounce.
$2,500 an ounce?
Yes. That's if you're smart enough to hold on to it.
Well,
I'll tell you, most people are going to get scared when the price of gold starts going down, and they'll sell it.
$2,500 an ounce.
That's what I said.
Plus or minus how many months would you say?
I'm not a predictor of time. I'm not a seer. I'm not plugged into any psychic network. I don't have a 900 number, and God doesn't whisper in my ear. What I just told you is based upon study and research.
Well, I sure appreciate the Kaji and you and all the good old boys out there, and carry on, partner.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
And, folks, it's that time. Good night, and God bless you all.
Come back.